be the same, God, that you would refresh us, that you would revive us, that you would restore us, that you would empower us. We pray in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it right now. Be glorified, I pray, in this place. Reign. Continue to reign. Send the rain while you reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we will give you the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him a great big praise in this place. Hallelujah. We honor you, Jesus. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mercy, Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. While we're in the presence of the Lord, we are going to read a couple passages of scriptures in the book of Numbers, Numbers 13. We're going to read from Numbers 13, familiar Old Testament passage. Numbers 13, I'm going to read the first three verses and we'll skip down to verse 26. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment, the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel." I'm skipping down for time's sake, going to verse 26. It says, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the south, in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once to take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. We saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. And you may be seated, amen, in the presence of the Lord. I want to title you this message, moving along quickly here. If you can tell your neighbor, get the right perspective. Tell somebody else, get the right perspective. Get the right perspective. Perspective. Well, there were two old geezers living in the backwoods of the Ozarks, Rufus and Clarence. Rufus and Clarence. Now, they lived on opposite sides of the river, and they hated each other. Every morning just after sunup, Rufus and Clarence would go down to their prospective sides of the river and yell at each other. Rufus, Clarence would shout, You better thank your lucky stars that I can't swim, or I'd swim over there and whoop you. Clarence, Rufus would holler back, you better thank your lucky stars that I can't swim, or I'd get over that river and just whoop up on you. And every morning, every day for 20 years, this is what they did, yelling at each other. But one day, the Army Corps of Engineers came along and they built a bridge. But the insult still went on every morning, every day for another 5 years. And so finally, Mr. Rufus's wife just had enough. And she said, Rufus, you hear me talking to you? I can't take it no more. Every day for 25 years, you've been threatening to whoop up on Clarence. Well, now there's that bridge down there. Go over there and have at it. Well, Rufus thought about it for a moment. He chewed on his bottom lip. For another moment, he says, woman, he declared, snapped his suspenders in place. He says, yeah, I'm going to go over there and whoop up on Clarence. So he walked out the door, walked down to the river along the riverbank, and he came to the bridge, stepped up on the bridge, and walked about halfway over to the bridge. And then he all of a sudden just turned around and started screaming. And he ran back to the house. And he ran in the house, slammed the door, bolted the windows, grabbed his shotgun, and ran under the bed. And his wife looked at him and said, Rufus, what are you doing? I thought you was going to go over there and whip up on Clarence. He was shaking. He said, I was. Oh, I really was. And she said, well, what in the tarnations is the matter with you? He says, well, I walked about halfway on that bridge. And I saw this big sign that says, Clarence, 13 feet and 6 inches. He ain't never looked that big from this side of the river. Some of y'all just got it. I know. It takes a little while. A little slow. But I believe this is what happens to the people of God when we look at things from a distance and we make plans and we get closer to doing what God wants us to do, and we think that the task is too monumental, and all of a sudden we see things wrong and we start retreating. We start going in another direction in which we were going. Amen. And so we start, we circle our wagons, we stand our grounds, and then we end up staying in our comfort zone, hiding and afraid. And I've been finding out as I talk to people from all over that church, I see this happening to Christians everywhere as we keep looking at the signs that are all around us. And we are moving backwards when we should be moving forward. Understand, church, this is really our time to advance and not to retreat because of what we see, because of what we read, and because of what we hear. Because all of these signs that we're reading, and all of a sudden we're retreating. But I believe, church, that in order to get the right perspective, if we're really going to accomplish God's will for our lives, accomplish the purpose that God has for us, amen. And I believe it here at SFCC. The first thing I want to bring to you quickly here is that we have to decide in our heart to follow God's plan. We just got to decide, I'm going to follow you, God, no matter what. Just get to that place. You see, I want you to know that Israel, time was, it was their time to go into the promised land that God had said it was there for an inheritance. Amen. And after God had miraculously delivered them out of slavery from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, and now they were at the edge of the promised land. At the edge of a promise. What happens? God told Moses he wanted them to spy out the land that he was given to them, because the people were in such an uproar about going to this land. But God told Moses, okay, well, just go ahead and send the people in the land. And God was ready to begin the process for them to go into this land. So Moses follows the leading of the Lord, and he sends one man from each tribe. Just one man from each tribe. Go out and spy the land. Go out, spy the land. And Moses takes the time to follow through to get information on the land, to see what this promise is like. Okay, he says, well, what are the, go to see what are the people like? Is the land good? And you know, what was the terrain like? So go ahead and check it out. And this was his obedience to the Lord to do exactly what the Lord had told him to do. The issue was settled in his heart to follow God's command. It was settled to move beyond where he had been, despite the not knowing how things would come about, what to expect, or what they may have to face. Sometimes we have to come to a place where when God tells us to move, or he opens up the door and gives opportunity, it's time to move, then it is time to move. And we have to settle it in our hearts that, Lord, we're going to follow you regardless. Regardless, we're going to follow you. I remember when my wife came to me and she told me about the opportunity that she had about going back to school. And I'm like, okay, well, what would this look like? And I'm asking all the questions. And then she told me that the job would pay for the schooling. And I'm saying, okay, all right, that's all good. But I got to pray on this. I got to see what God is saying on this. Because you know, she came to me, it's like, well Lord, it can be tough. But Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? And let me tell you, when God said, okay, because I want to know, God, what is your plan for this? That when God said, okay, and we were able to move forward and work it out, and through all the ups and downs that came with it, God blessed, and she finished the course, thank God. Amen. Amen, because God made an opportunity at that time, and he said, yes. This is my plan. This is my will. Sometimes we have to make up in our minds and heart that we're going to follow God's plan, God's way. Somebody say God's plan, God's way. See, you cannot get to the promise that God has for you by following your own plans and doing it your own way. See, in every facet of your life, I just want you to be determined to follow God's leading in all that you do. I know this seems like basic 101 Christianity, but I'm finding out more and more as I see that we're living in a culture today that wants to do what they want to do. Amen. A culture today that does not want to come up under authority. A culture today that feel that I just got a right to do me. And we've kind of adopted that, amen, in our culture. Because see, what happens in our culture, we have to be careful because we end up adapting to the culture. Amen. And so we find ourselves many times saying, well, I just got to do me. I have to do it my way and what I'm planning on doing. But we have to understand that God's plan for me may not be my dreams for me. Some of y'all missed that right there. God's plans for me may not be my dream for me. And so we have to look and follow what God's plan is for our lives and understand that God's plan for us is to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. Amen. That's God's plan for us. So that's why we have to take up the agenda of God's kingdom first and follow his word and direction for your life. For your life. God's direction, God's purpose. Amen. Not my will, but your will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That must be our prayer today as we make up our minds and decide in our hearts to follow God's plan. I can't stress that enough. God's plan for us is the most important plan that there is. It's the agenda we must follow in this day and time. And we must be clear about that. Moses didn't argue with God here. Moses was very clear to follow every step, everything that God said he needed to do. And sometimes, amen, when we are approached with, when God speaks to us about what he wants us to do, sometimes it doesn't, we don't feel like it. We don't feel like it. I know that's sometimes we're not honest. See, if we're honest, we kid ourselves, right? But when we are honest with God, when he speaks to us. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we have to get over our little feelings. Amen. We have to get over what I want, you have to get over that. It's about his kingdom, his agenda, a holy assignment that we have over our lives. So make up in your minds, God, I will follow you. Somebody needs to decide today, I'm going to follow you. Somebody needs to make up your minds today because you've been vacillating backwards and forwards, and that's why it seemed like you stop, start, because you haven't made up your mind. I'm just going to follow you, Lord. I'm just going to do the will of God. I know it seems simple, but somebody needs to make up your mind today. I'm going to follow you regardless of how I feel about it, regardless of what I think about it. I am going to follow your agenda. I'm going to do it, Lord, because you called me. You spoke to me. You told me in more ways than one what I need to be doing. I've been wanting to talk to us about stewardship, but God dropped this word quickly in my spirit before we could even get the stewardship. We got to have the right perspective. Otherwise, we could talk about stewardship all day long and do nothing with it. But we must come here first. Let's just decide, I'm going to do God's will for me. Yes, it's going to cost you. Yes, it might be trying. But I have to decide to do his will. Do his will. Because we're at the edge of the promised land. We're right at the edge, church. Some of you don't even realize it, but we're right at the edge. We must get the right perspective moving forward. The second thing, not only must we decide in our hearts to follow God's will for our lives, but the second thing we must do is declare your statement of faith. Declare your statement of faith. And there's been declarations already going on in this service today. Amen. As we've been declaring who God is. You see, when Moses sent out the 12 spies, and they spied out the promised land, they came back with the report from the exploration and gave the account to Moses, and all of Israel was there when they gave the account. And they did see the land and saw that it flowed with milk and honey, and they showed the giant grapes that were in the land. It was a good land. They saw and talked of the enemies that were in the surrounding regions and all the Ites that were there. All the Ites were around, the Jebusites, Canaanites. All the Ites were around, all the enemies. And the crowd was hearing their report. And the crowd was getting a little in an uproar. as they were talking about it. And then Caleb, in the midst of everyone being gathered and everyone getting a little, you know, in an uproar about all the ites that were all around, Caleb has to calm everybody down. And Caleb has to say, wait, hold on, wait a minute. And he had to silence everyone, and he had to make his statement of faith. In the midst of everyone getting all upset, he makes a statement. Faith said that we should go up and take possession of the land. For we can certainly do it. That was his statement of faith. We can certainly do it. It was his faith that was strong in the Lord, and he was confident that they could accomplish all that God had for them. And see, Caleb made that statement with total confidence in what they could do because God was with them. And this was all his doing in the first place. Now, how many of you know that when you jump out there and make your statement of faith, and that is declaring what God had already said is yours, you will have those that will doubt you. You will have those that will come against you and say the opposite of what you know God said. Because when we look at the other 10 spies, they made a statement as well. But they made a statement of one of fear that said, we cannot, because they are stronger than we are. They made a declaration to sit down on God, not to move. They made a declaration basically to stay under the bed fearful, to stay under the bed crying out, nervous because of what they saw. You see, when we say that we can't, everything in our body shuts down. When we say we can't, I mean the flesh shuts down and agrees with what you said. When you say, I can't, we have no strength and we give no effort and we make no effort. It was kind of funny. The other, it was last Monday when my daughter's godson, Mason, we were drawing some pictures. And so we were drawing pictures with him. And in drawing those pictures, he was getting all excited. And Jasmine wanted him to draw something else. And so he said, I can't. No, just draw the circle. I can't. And when he said, I can't, all of a sudden he kind of went limp. Here, here's the crayon. Here, take a draw. Because he said, I can't. Everything in him told him, I can't do it. I don't have the ability. He made no effort. He went limp. Couldn't do anything. You know how kids are. You laugh because that's how you are. We're the same way. We just got older. We fall out in our own little way as well, don't we? We get limp. We just say, I ain't. That's the difference. We just go from I can't to I ain't. Excuse me, I will not. We make these statements all the time. What are the statements that we are making today? Are we really declaring what we can do or what we can't do? In order to move forward, we have to understand what the declarations that we make over our lives, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when we start saying what we can't do, and that leads to what we're not going to do, for some of y'all, what you ain't going to do, it's true. See, if we keep saying we can do it, we can do it, then we will. But if we declare that we, you know, I won't do it, I can't do it, then we won't do it. But I believe, church, that if we begin to start declaring that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, And that becomes our declaration, our daily declaration. I promise you things will begin to change. And I'm not just saying it just to rehearse it, but understand that that's a fact, that I really can do all things through Christ. Christ, the one who died for me. Christ, the one who rose from the dead with all power, and through him, he empowers me by his Spirit so I can do more than I could do by myself. So truly, when I declare I can do all things through Christ, all the things that he's wanted me to accomplish, all the things that he's called me to do, I can do it through him. I can do everything that he wants me to do. Everything that he's purposed for me to do, I can actually do it through him. But that must become my declaration. See, if God has already says it's mine, all I have to do is declare that it's mine. See, when I make a declaration, I'm basically saying, in essence, God, I agree with you, with what you already said that I can do. I'm agreeing with you of what you're saying that what I can be. I agree with you. So I can make a declaration based on what he said. That's what we make our declaration, upon what he has said. And so I can start declaring. See, regardless of the negativity that's around me, I can declare what he said. I remember when a couple years ago when I was in Haiti, and some of you all know the story, but when I was in Haiti, and as I got into the automobile there, picked up by Sister Ruth Applewhite, our missionary there, and she had the vehicle for some 25 years plus, and it was in such bad condition, but God put it on my heart. I had to do something. We got to do something. God put that in my heart. Do something. Do something. And to look at getting another vehicle. And so God put it on our heart. And so we set a budget. And I was just praying about, God, how much? What do we do? And God just directed me, showed me, just, you know, set your goal. And we set our goal for $25,000 to raise. And so when we got back here to the church, we came to you all and said, this is what God has told us to do. We need $25,000. And so, you know, we looked around only to find out that the cars there, I didn't know better. I'm just thinking, hey, this, you know, we can get a car, $25,000, we can get something for her in Haiti. And so when I found out that most cars over there is basically double the price for a new car. For a new car, you're basically doubling the price. And so, you know, I had faith in my heart. I knew God put it in my heart to do, but now we're faced with, you can't purchase no new vehicle for $25,000. That's not going to happen. So you have to think about something else we're going to do. So time, just for some of you all remember, but as we collected the donations from everyone to give, the Lord blessed. And in 6 weeks, we had $27,000. God bless. And I was thanking God, but I'm saying, but Lord, okay, we got 27. That's more than, I think it ended up being a little more than that. But after we received that amount, I'm saying, well, Lord, how are we going to get this vehicle? Because it's not adding up. And then so Sister Ruth said, I talked to her, and she says, well, you know, I'm going to be starting a fundraiser. I said, no, we can't wait on that. It's been too long. And you all were at, what's going on? Where's the vehicle? What's going on? Time is going by. And so as time went by, we were saying, okay, God, you got to do something here. Sister Ruth said, well, I'll start a fund. I said, no, Sister Ruth, you can't do that. You don't understand. I said, people in the United States, you know, home, she's been away so long, she's really Haitian now. So, but I said, people in the United States, you know, when they give, they want to see some things happening. And months and months go by, nothing's happening. Folks start wondering what's going on. So, we got to move on this, Sister Ruth. And she says, I really would want something new. I said, Sister Ruth, here's what we're going to do. Let's believe God. I said, Sister Ruth, let's just believe God. I said, because this is where we are, this is what we have, and we can't wait. Let's believe God. And so to make a long story short, we believe God. And I told you the cards are double. Well, God worked in such a miraculous way that with the money that we had, we were able to buy, to get her, and God worked miraculously, a 2014 at that time, brand new truck, amen, with the air conditioning, thank God, amen. Some of you all know, you've been there, you know you need that AC when you get in that car, when you get off that plane, amen. I got one amen, they know. But we were able to do it because we declare we're going to trust God, and God put it on our heart. We declare God's going to do something with what we've given, and God came through. He came through, and he blessed. It seemed impossible, but we made this. We declare that, God, you're going to move because you put it in our heart. You told us to do this. And so we're agreeing with you. We're declaring, God, you're going to work a miracle because this is what you, this is what we have. And God did just that. God is faithful. Amen? Amen. He's faithful. Warren Wiersbe said, faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others can't see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Church, what statements do you make when things don't look favorable? What things do you say when everyone else is complaining around you about what they see? What statements do you make? Are you more like the 10 spies or are you like the 2? Think about it. Are you more like when things get crazy around you? Are you the one that's going to have faith and believe God? Or the one that starts complaining? Church, I believe that we can start declaring what God said he is going to do, even though we have giants all around us. Things don't look promising. Amen. But I believe that we can start declaring what God has said. And around this church, I believe, church, because we start looking around and this is not right and this needs to be improved and this needs to be better. And before you know it, we all, everybody's complaining. Everybody's murmuring and grumbling and complaining. And but we see it a certain way, and how is this going to work and how is this going to happen? And that's kind of like our talk. But I believe that if we start declaring what God said, start declaring that God is going to turn it around. See, that's, somebody can start declaring that. God, you're going to turn it around. I'm believing you're going to. Somebody can declare it right now. God, turn it around. I'm declaring you're going to turn something around. I'm declaring that. Oh, yes. We can start declaring that. Amen. See, God is getting ready to heal. Lord, I'm declaring that, God, you're going to heal. You're going to start healing, God. Sick bodies. Lord, we even when they walk in, God, this building, Lord, they walk on our grounds and healing starts happening. I'm going to start declaring that. Oh, yes. I believe God is going to, I declare that God is going to raise up a new generation that's going to be on fire for him, that's going to serve him, that won't back down. Amen. That will serve the purpose to their generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to start declaring some things. Oh, some of you are just catching on. You're going to start declaring how our God is great and how powerful he is. We're going to declare that our God is going to bring them from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. That God is going to draw them by his spirit and start saving some folks. I'm declaring it in this place. Do I have anyone to declare with me? Hallelujah. Start declaring. Start declaring that God is going to move. Hallelujah. Open up your mouth and start declaring some things. Hallelujah. Declaring what he already said. He's already prophesied to the house of how the Spirit of God was going to heal and deliver. Lord, I'm just agreeing with that. I'm agreeing with what you said already for this house. I don't care what may be going on right now. Start declaring. Start declaring. You're in the middle of a mess. Start declaring. You're in the middle of giants. Start declaring. You're in the middle of chaos. Start declaring. Start declaring. Oh, God. Start declaring it. Come on. Start declaring it. I got to move on. I believe that we can start declaring some things around here. That's going to change and shift the atmosphere of the house. Hallelujah. I'm going to start declaring some, the seats are going to be filled that's empty. I'm going to start, Lord, you're going to fill some seats around here. Because they're coming. It's been prophesied too long over this house. And see, we're at the edge of the promised land. We're at the very edge, Pastor Bill. But I want you to know, while we're here at the edge, that it's time to stop doubting, stop murmuring, stop complaining, because we're at the edge. Pastor Matt, come here. See, I want you to understand what it's like. I just want you to see it. See, we're at the edge. God says, this, Christian Center, is your promised land. This is your promised land. In football, it's called the red zone. When you get close to the edge, and you're trying to break through to get to the other side, your opponents line up right with you. And you're trying to get to the other side. And as soon as you're trying to get in. But see, the defense, they said, oh, we can't let you get in. You see, the enemy's trying to stop Christian Center for too long. We're trying to get in, but we've been taking some hits.
Yes, sir.
Worship team, you know what I'm talking about. We're trying to get in. Lord, today, we've been taking some hits.
Yeah.
Come on, Dale Shea. Come on. But I just want you to know that when we, I just want you to know, come here. When we get in line, line up, get in position where God has called you to play. When you get in your position, get where you're supposed to be, start exercising the gifts that God has given you. It's not my job to be on the front line. He hasn't called me to this position here, right? But if he's called these to this position, because they have the gift, the anointing on their lives, and they got the power and the size to make a difference. All of a sudden, when I say, okay, church, it's time for us to move ahead, all of a sudden, we start going, we clear the way. There's a path that's clear so we can get to the promised land. That's why we got to start declaring, enemy, you are defeated. You're not going to hold us anymore. I'm sick and tired of being pushback. It's time to get a pushback in your spirit and start pushing the enemy back. Not each other, but the enemy. Push the enemy back. Because God said it's our time to move into the promised land. Come on, let's give God praise. I'm ready for a breakthrough. I'm ready for a breakthrough. We've been held back long enough. And I'm ready for the breakthrough. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. Now listen, listen, listen. I need to take you home with this. The last little point. Because after you discover in your heart and your mind what you decide rather what God has told you to do. I'm going to do it. God, I promise you, God, I'm going to follow through and do what you said. And after that, I'm going to start declaring some things. I'm going to start declaring, God, what you said that I can say. But let me tell you, the last piece of this is not only declare it, but I need you to discover God's perspective to see what he said. Discover God's perspective so you can see what he said. See, out of the 12 spies that went out of the land of promise, 10 of the spies focused more on the giants that were in the land and how powerful they were. Everybody in that land looked like Shaquille O'Neal's big brother. There were some real giants there. It was true. It was true. It was real giants in the land. They said that they appeared as grasshoppers in their own sight. Everything they saw and experienced seemed hopeless, and they made the statement that came from a place of fear. The reason why they said what they, because they were fearful. So they said, oh man, we're like grasshoppers. We're nothing. They're giants. Oh, and they kind of exaggerated the point and really made it, you know, big. And like I said, it upset all of the people of Israel that they were stronger than we are. And the whole focus, here's the thing, the whole focus was on the giants and not on God. See, the more we focus on the giants, they will be magnified in our hearts and minds, and all we see is the giants at 13 feet and 6 inches high. That's all we see. And we start running scared. They had a different perspective than Caleb because Caleb was able to see what God said. Knowing that the one who said he was going to deliver them from Egypt kept his promise, showed his power and strength and ability, and he believed what God said. He discovered that when you take God and trust him at his word, you will discover life from a different perspective, and that's the perspective of faith. It may look one way in the natural, but there is another perspective, and that is God's word on it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many times do we look at a situation and we just see a mess? We see giants and we get overwhelmed by it when we get discouraged. And then some of us will throw in a towel and say, I can't do this. This is just too much. I'm just so overwhelmed. Don't we use that word? I'm just so overwhelmed by it all. But I want you to know today that if God says it, then it doesn't matter what it looks like, because if he says it, then all I have to do is believe it, align myself with that word, and trust God to do the rest. It takes the pressure off of me. I can't do it anyway. You can't do it anyway on your own. The problem is you've been trying to do it on your own, and you've trusted in your ability instead of his ability. See, this is how we walk by faith and not by sight. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. The spirit that Joshua and Caleb had was the spirit of Moses. And they had that same spirit that said, God, you're able to do it. Because they had a different perspective. You remember Gideon and how he was preparing for the battle against the Midianites? And they had 32,000 men to fight after God kept telling him to cut it down. Cut it down. Cut down your army. Too many folks. It did not make sense. Cut down the army. Cut down the army until there were only 300 men to fight. It did not make sense. He saw that they were outnumbered for the fight, but he obeyed God and he saw what God said. He saw what God said, and he took him at his word. 300 to fight when you are outnumbered by thousands upon thousands upon thousands. 300, and you're going to fight. It doesn't make sense. In the natural, it's a no-brainer. We know who wins. You don't have enough power, and you don't have enough strength. But when you put your trust in what God said, see, God fought for them, and they prevailed with only 300 men. How was that? Because God fought for them. God confused them. They turned on each other and started killing each other. This is what God did. You see, Israel ended up, unfortunately, church, I want us to see this, not taking God at his word. Israel ended up retreating. They retreated. They murmured and complained. And they operated in their flesh and fear, but not in faith in the one who delivered them in the first place. You see, Sister Joanne, the worship team sang the song, Never Forget, because they forgot. They forgot. How do you tell me that God delivered you over 400 years of slavery out of Egypt, and they were hard-pressed, and God opens up a Red Sea and you all walk through on dry ground with all the riches of Egypt with you, and now you are crying about they forgot. They must have forgotten the power and the greatness of the Lord. And as a result, that generation never entered into the promised land. They chose to retreat instead of advance. Help us, Lord, on that one. Church, we are in a time where we have got to get the right perspective. Why? Because we got giants in our economy. We got giants of violence. We have giants of poverty, giants of disaster, giants of terrorism, giants of racism, giants of broken relationships and marriage and family, giants of evil, giants of sickness and diseases, giants of and death is there. Amen. And they are all there threatening us. But when we take God's perspective of faith, here's what it does. It looks at the giants and acknowledges that it's there. It's not blind. Those are some real giants we have. We see it and we acknowledge it. But also what happens is it looks at God and it sees God, who is bigger, stronger than any of those giants that pale in comparison. And he is greater than any of the giants we will ever face. So the right perspective is looking at God versus looking at your giants. That's what I want us to do. Is start looking at God because he is bigger. Knowing that if God is for us, who can be against us? He is our banner. He is our way maker. He is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We got to understand who he is and start looking at him from that perspective. Start looking at your giants through the perspective of God. That's the right perspective. I got to see God for who he is. We have to see him and trust him at every turn of life. He is the one that desires to bring us to this promised land, church. And understand, for Israel, they just had to believe it and take it. Understand, the land was already theirs. They just had to take it. Do you know the promise, what God has promised us is for us? All we have to do is start taking it. All we have to do is move forward and advance. That's the word I want you to say, advance. Advance. God, I need a word from you. You just got one. What's the word? Advance. Advance. It's time to advance. It's time to move. It's time to press into what God has for us to take possession of the land. get the right perspective and see what he said. And right now he's telling us to advance. See it, see it. Right now he's telling us to move forward. He's telling us that we have victory, that there's nothing that can stop us or hinder us. Amen. If we don't turn on each other, if we stop complaining, amen, and start moving forward, God is going to give us victory that he already said that we have. Give God praise for that. So today, as we conclude here, I need for you to decide in your heart, I am going to do the will of God for my life. And if someone's here, you don't know Jesus today, I need you to decide today. God has a great promise for your life. But I need you to decide today, God, I'm going to do life your way, not my way. Your way, not my way. For those that have accepted Christ, I need you to decide that calling, that thing that God is telling you to do, I need you to decide in your heart today, I am going to do that. If that's you, if you need to decide today, I just need you to stand up right where you are. Stand up right. There's some things I need to decide on because God is speaking to me about. I just want you to stand right where you are. There might be some ministry, some things that God has challenged you on, and you just need to decide right now. I'm going to make up my mind right now. And you're standing up saying, I'm going to do it. That God has called me to do. Is there anyone here? I see you in the balcony. God bless you all over. Someone else, you need to decide some things. Just stand up right where you are. Don't be ashamed. Worry about folks. I need to make a decision on some things. God is always speaking to us and challenging us. But sometimes we wrestle. And we just need to come to the point of making a decision. God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to decide. God bless you. God bless you. Because you know why? As you stand, God has given you victory as you stand. See, that's your breakthrough. That's your breakthrough just in standing up. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do is just decide and make a stand. And you're making your stand today. And there's some of you today that you say, Pastor, I'm going to start declaring some things over my life. Yes, I see I'm in the midst of giants. There's a mess on my hands. There's a lot of things going on, but I'm going to start declaring some things that you already said that I could declare. I'm not talking about declare, Lord, you know, I'm just going to declare something that's just, no, I'm saying when God says it. Peter walked on the water because Jesus called him. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said, come. So Peter got out the boat and started walking on water. Not like the lady who thought she was going to walk on water, literally. Many, many years ago, and Yonggi Cho talks about it in his book, and she tries to walk out on the water, nearly drowned. Well, God didn't tell you to do that. That wasn't God's word. But I want you, if you're going to start declaring some things that God has already said over your life, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Some of you, I'm going to start declaring some things. I'm going to start declaring some things. Whether it's in your household, you're going to start declaring some things. On your job, I'm going to start declaring some things. It's not no ritual, no. I'm agreeing, God, with what you have already said. So I'm going to declare it, though. I'm going to speak it out, and I'm going to trust you to do it. And some of you, you're going to get a new perspective. And you're saying, God, I need you to open my eyes to see you. Because I keep looking at the other stuff. But I need to get the right perspective. I need to see you. And you're standing today, you say, God, I need help to see you in a new way. I need help to see you. I just want you to stand. I want to see you in a new way. In a new way, a fresh glimpse of who you are. A fresh glimpse of who you are. And church, I believe we can get the right perspective. Why? Because we're at the edge. We're at the edge of the promise. God is getting ready to take us forward. That's why you've been sensing God moving in such a great way. Because God is getting ready to take us through, amen, to walk in this place of promise. Walk in this place of destiny. Walk in this place of purpose that he has with your name on it, with our name on it. It belongs to us, the people of God, and I will not be denied. You will not be denied any longer in the name of Jesus. I declare that in Jesus' name. Come on, lift up your hands all over the building. Come on, let's lift up your hands. Come on, let's just worship him for just a few moments. Those that are standing, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're deciding, God, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to do your will, God, for my life. For my life, God. What is my life other than you delivered me, other than you saved me for such a time as this, that I should be in this world through this chaotic generation and troubled times, and you place me in this world to make a difference. God, for you, it's about your kingdom. Not about my will, but it's about your kingdom. And God, you're getting ready to advance your people. We want to go to the promised land. We want to walk in our destiny that you have ordained for us, God. And so, God, we say, let your will be done in me, God. I want to do your will, God. Strengthen each one that's standing, that's saying, I want to do your will, God. Hallelujah, God. Strengthen them, oh God, as they, Lord, say, Lord, today I'm going to do your will, God. Lord, I'm not waiting for years to come, but right now, where I am in this point in time in my life, I'm deciding, I'm taking my stand. I'm going to do your will. I need for those of you who are standing that to say that, Lord, I'm going to do your will for my life. I'm going to do your will for my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I need for some of those that say, I'm going to start declaring some things. I need you right now, start declaring some things God already said. I just need you to lift up your hands and start declaring some things. I don't know, it might be sickness in your family, sickness in your body. Hallelujah. That, Lord, that you are the healer, God. And I'm believing you for, Lord. I'm believing you for deliverance, God. I'm believing you, God, you're going to change some things in my home, God. Lord, that, Lord, you said, Lord, that I can see my children's children, oh, God. Oh, God, saved and delivered, God. I'm going to believe you for it. I'm standing on your word. I declare it in my life, over my home, God, over my family, God, over my body. God, I start declaring right now, God. Hallelujah. As you begin to change my speech, change, oh God, what I say, God, that I won't speak that which is negative, speak that's against your word. I will speak your word over my life, God. I agree with you and your word in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And for those of you who say God has given you a new perspective right now, he's going to increase your vision. He's going to let you see in the spiritual, in the midst of the natural, amen, what God is doing. Hallelujah. We believe it, God. You're going to open up vision. Give the right perspective to your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. God, we're going to have a new vision of who you are, and we're going to see you and focus on you and not the troubles we face. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we give you the praise for giving this church now a new perspective, the right perspective, your perspective, and it's faith in Jesus' name. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are called to advance into all that God has for us. The rightly aligned, gifted ones in place. And we advance to take our place. Amen. Hallelujah. And before we dismiss the flyers that Pastor Roderick mentioned, by the way, they're in Spanish and English. We have 5,000 of these flyers. So don't get greedy. But you could take, I think, more than one. Sister Aida is going to have them next door in the fellowship hall, right after service, right next door in the fellowship hall. 5,000 of these to be able to hand out to people, a night of transformation and miracles. It has a website for more information and all that, so you can hand these out, knowing that people will know the right place to be for God to advance in their lives, in healing, in salvation, in deliverance, in speaking the word over their lives. Amen? Amen. And also, I just wanted to, I was thinking about the garage sale this coming Saturday for Angel Tree. We've been emphasizing renting a table. What about coming to buy some stuff? Everybody loves a great deal. So forget about Craigslist. Forget about the discount deals. Come Saturday and see what people are going to bring so that you can support at both ends, both buying and selling. And all of it goes towards supporting children in need who will receive a Christmas gift because of your generosity and giving. So let's make sure to support this and all the things that are before us. This benediction we have today, oh gosh, Sister Dinah's just about to leave. We didn't get to mention her at the Green Earth. Sister Dinah is with us today. For many of you, she had to move with her family a few years ago, but part of this congregation, so faithful for so many years, the ministry of dance and worship, no one else has done it like her, and we so miss her, so appreciate her today. God bless you, Sister Dinah. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Sister Dinah. Our benediction today is so especially fitting because when we feel like grasshoppers in our own sight, we need to hear this word. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask, and including all that we ask, or think, according to that power that is at work in you, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, for all generations and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. See you Wednesday. See you Friday. Flyers right next door.
We're going to sing a few declarations before we go. Hallelujah. Let's call a response, everyone. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm walking in victory.
I'm walking in victory.
I'm walking in victory.